So I know it feels like it's getting a bit boring and that we're trading in the range. And if we are trading in the Bitcoin range, then we pretty much slap bang in the middle of the range. But what if I told you that there's an indicator that says that the last time this happened, it went for an extreme breakout, and that an extreme breakout may actually be imminent. So I'm going to show you what that indicator is and what happened the last time that it happened. Also, there is a story that's brewing and no one's talking about it, but this story could be so big that it could mean that there's a massive buyer in the market. And when I say to you a massive buyer for Bitcoin in the market, I mean a buyer that could potentially be bigger than the BlackRock ETF. Imagine if I said to you, there is a potential buyer on the horizon, and that potential buyer may be the same size or maybe even bigger than the BlackRock ETF. I'm going to show you who that potential buyer is. And then lastly, I want to talk about altcoins, because I know that you guys are here for altcoins. And I'm getting a few indicators that it may actually be the perfect time to buy altcoins, but not all altcoins. It's very, very, very select altcoins. And I guess if you press the trigger at the right time, I think you may actually maximize your chances of making huge money in the cycle. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a big show. Let's get You know what I see when I see the market in this range? You know what I see when I look at the bubbles and I see the market in this range? You know what I see? I see a bunch of degens who have to get their fix of dopamine. And so when Bitcoin actually moves in this range from side to side and just doesn't go anywhere, what do the degens do? They go to the casino and they play on the meme coins. You can see it today. Even though Bitcoin is moving sideways, you've got Bonk up 34%, you've got Wiff up 20.58%, you've got Pepe in 10.72%, you've got HBAR and Floki up. I'll show you why HBAR is up. It's also become a bit of a meme, I think. And then if you look at the next page, look at all the big movers. It's all the meme coins. And what that says to me is that crypto degens will be crypto degens. And when there's no dopamine to be had on Bitcoin, when Bitcoin is actually in the range, we need to go to the casino. And actually, I remember in 2017, or 2018, I used to get so addicted to the dopamine that on the days where the market didn't used to move, I used to go and play poker with my friends, or maybe even go to the casino, even though I hate casinos. I used to go and play casinos with my friends. So let me know in the comments if that's you guys. Let me know if you guys are the meme coin degens looking for the dopamine hit. And now that you're not getting it with Bitcoin, you're rushing to the casino, to the meme coin casino. Otherwise, if you are part of the family, just smash the like button. If you're not part of the family, subscribe to the show. Lots of content coming out. Also, for the next couple of days, I'm here. But then after that, I'm traveling to Miami to cover some stuff in Miami and to attend the F1 and to host an amazing debate between Peter Schiff, Nouriel Roubini, Eric Voorhees, and Anthony Scaramucci. So while I'm gone, the showtime may be slightly different to the normal showtime. So what I suggest is that you definitely switch on your notifications, because you're going to need those notifications to know when I'm coming to you and when I'm not coming to you. So subscribe and hit the notifications. Otherwise, you miss the alpha. You do that at your own risk. All right, let's get the show on the road, because we've got a lot to talk about. I want to talk to you about altcoins. Specifically, there's three indicators that are telling me it's time to start buying altcoins. So I'm starting to deploy more and more and more of my bag. And I'm going to show you what the indicators are, which altcoins I'm going into and why I'm going into those altcoins. Then I want to show you a buyer that may be bigger than BlackRock in time, not today, but maybe bigger than BlackRock in time. And I'm going to walk you through the thesis, and maybe you'll understand why I'm so excited about this thesis that I'm about to present to you. We just got so much to do today. So let's actually not even recap on what we're actually doing. Let's get straight into the price action. And as I said to you, when you look at the price action, we are very, very, very much in this like pattern, in this range. And we've been in this range since the 26th of Feb. We broke into this range on the 26th of Feb. And it seems like the bottom of the range is like the $59,000 level. And the top of the range is at $73,000 level. And it's getting quite frustrating. And especially now, because if you look at it, like right now, we're slab bang in the middle of the range. So even if you're range trading, you look at this range trade and you say, oh, well, you know, we're range trading again. We're in the middle of the range. We're not even at the bottom of the range, so it's not buying time. We're not at the top of the range, so it's not potential selling or breakout time. And so it feels like it's probably the most boring part of the trading. But before you jump into this, just understand that this is not unusual. So What Dan Crypto says, and he's right, I actually checked the math here. He says, Bitcoin has now been consolidating around its previous all-time, around its previous cycle high for almost 7 weeks. It took 3 weeks in 2017 and 8 weeks in 2013, which could mean that a breakout is imminent if you compare the data to the previous cycles. It could mean that a breakout may actually be brewing. Now, what do crypto degens do when what do crypto degens do when it gets boring and Bitcoin is in a range? I'll tell you, they do two things, right? The first thing they do is they start drawing very, 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 like, I'm not going to call it a desperate chart, but they start desperately looking for small breakouts on small timeframes to prove a thesis that they actually want to happen. That's what Blantz, I think, is doing specifically in this case. Or what they do is what I said to you, they go and look for a dopamine hit in the meme coin casino. Because if the normal coins aren't pumping, what do? They go and they look for adrenaline and dopamine in the meme coin casino. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's why today, even though Bitcoin is very, very range-bound, you see the meme coins absolutely exploding. As I said, Bonk, 32%. Worth, 19%. Floki, 10%. Pepe, 10.13%. That's good for Gummy. We'll talk about that in a second. Then you got HBAR up 45.62%. And to me, that's also a bit of a meme. And the reason why I say it's a bit of a meme is because the reason why HBAR exploded is because there was an announcement. They made an announcement. An intern made an announcement that basically what he said is a widely misinterpreted announcement from HBAR fund has sparked confusion amongst crypto investors. A BlackRock money market fund has tokenized on Hedera, sending the Hedera token onto a 96% rally. So people are thinking that BlackRock partnered up with HBAR, which is not actually what happened. It's just a specific fund went and tokenized or is potentially tokenizing something, and therefore the news was actually not real news, okay? So, but the interesting part of it not being real news is that it still got interest in HBAR. So it's like someone says, if you're just hearing about Hedera for the first time, we're glad you're here. The BlackRock news may have bought you here, which was fake, but stay for a while and you'll soon find an amazing ecosystem. Now, look, I'll be honest around my feelings around HBAR, right? So I've followed HBAR since its launch in the beginning, and they've had 1,000,001 announcements. They really have had 1,000,001 announcements. The only thing is I've never actually seen any stickiness of those announcements. So for me to believe any announcement that HBAR ever have to make, I'm going to want to see stickiness. That's my thing. I want to make sure that the announcement is actually sticky and they actually get it. So as I said, while we're looking for the action, what people are doing is they're going to meme coins, and you can see that people are going to Wurf and Pepe. And as I said, that's really good for Gummy. Now, one thing that's happened with Gummy is Gummy has now got another exchange listing. So Gummy USDT is now live on Mexi, which means that we have our third centralized exchange. We have Blofin, centralized exchange, listed Gummy. We've had Mexi listed Gummy. We've had BingX listing Gummy. And on Monday, there is the biggest, well, I'm not going to say the biggest exchange in the world, but one of the biggest exchanges in the world is listing Gummy on Monday, which is the 29th. So don't say you weren't warned. I think that we're actually making history here. I really think that we're actually making history here, because I don't know of any meme coin that's launched, and within less than a week after launch, we've got three centralized exchanges and a fourth one confirmed, and potentially even a fifth one confirmed. So I really believe that we might actually be making history here. The other thing which is huge is what our social media intern saw. She said, look, Wurf was launched in December 2023 and has just over 130,000 holders. Gummy was launched 5 days ago with 52,000 holders. So I think that we may actually be making history. I think as a community, we may actually be making history. As I said to you, I've got massive plans for Gummy, but you guys have also got massive plans for Gummy. And I think on a day when meme coins are going to explode, let's see, maybe Gummy will be one of the one of the beneficiaries is. Yeah, this is the tweet. She says, with the amount of upcoming sex listings for Gummy, we may actually be breaking some records here. And we'll talk about that in a bit. I do want to talk to you about what happened the last time that Bitcoin was exactly in the same position as we are today. So as I said, it feels like a frustrating period and it feels like nothing's happening. But I think the problem is that a lot of people that are not seeing the full picture. And the reason why they're not seeing the full picture is because they're not looking at all the indicators. So this is the chart that I showed you originally, which shows you the movement of Bitcoin and the fact that we're in the middle of the range. And this is a very similar time to when we were in the middle of the range over here. So if you look at this time over here, we got to the middle of the range and then something happened here. Now, I want to show you what happened here. So I'm going to use the same chart, but all I'm going to do now in this chart is I've added the RSIs. Now, for those of you who don't know what RSIs are, RSIs are momentum indicators. What this line shows is it shows whether the momentum of the movement of the token is up or down. It shows you whether the sentiment and the momentum is up or down. Now, as you can see here, the momentum of the token was down. And here there was a breakout in the token. Now, this is the period of February. So this is, if you look at the range, so we ranged from December all the way through to mid-February. And the one indicator that showed us that there would potentially be a breakout in Bitcoin was this indicator over here, which was the RSI. So if you look at the RSI here, we had a breakout on the RSI whilst Bitcoin was exactly in the middle of the range, exactly like it is right now. And from that point, the RSI broke up and so did the price breakup, and it took us into quite a parabolic move. In fact, let's quickly just measure the size of that move. So that move was a 25%, more or less 25% move in 7 days. Now, what we've just had is we've had a very similar pattern. We've had the sideways movement from Bitcoin since the 27th of February, which is quite a... So, I mean, let's just measure it day for day, just for fun, even though it's not really so important. So the sideways movement started here. The breakout happened about 67 days. Now the sideways movement started here, and we are about 55 days away from the start. Then what you can see is the RSI was on the move down. The momentum was on the move down. And then we got a breakout of the RSI today, exactly in the middle of the time frame in of the range. We're getting this RSI. So if history repeats, and again, I mean, I don't know if history is going to repeat, but if history repeats, what we could be getting is we could actually be getting another one of these breakouts. This is a very early indicator of when momentum actually starts to change. And generally, when there's an RSI breakout, it's a very good time to potentially start buying. So you can see that was covered today. It was covered this morning in Front Runners by Kapoor. He said, we can see how Bitcoin has had a good relationship with RSI breakouts. RSI breakout is a leading indicator. It will usually alarm for the next move, which is exactly what happened. And we're exactly, as he pointed out here, we're repeating what happened the last time this happened. Now, of course, past performance is not exactly what it's going to be a future performance. But as Milky Bull says, currently the RSI on the macro scale is the same level as it was in 2017, which was followed by a huge rally to the top of the cycle. So the RSI is maybe giving us a clue that we're about to break out. So you've got to just brace yourself in case we're going to break out. So that is if you look at it from a technical point of view. But it's not only about technicals. Let's actually go to the fundamentals. Because to me, I've always been a skeptic of charts. I'm not really a skeptic of charts anymore. But I do always like to compare the charts with the fundamentals, right? And this is where I find some fundamentals that I think a lot of people are missing. Now, there are obviously obvious fundamentals, which I think everyone's seeing. Example, as Scaramucci says, he says, look, in the past, if you wanted to buy Bitcoin, you actually had to have guts. Like you had to swim against the stream, basically, if you wanted to buy Bitcoin. But now it's not like no longer about swimming against the stream. Now, if you're not buying Bitcoin, you're actually being negligent, right? Like think about a fund manager today. If he's not buying Bitcoin into your fund, that fund manager is actually being really, really, really negligent. So he says it took guts to own Bitcoin before now, but from now it's just a question of brains. And I'll show you why it's just a question of brains. Number one, I don't know if you guys saw Tesla's results. The one thing they said is that they're still holding $711 million worth of Bitcoin. This is the headline that everyone's pointing to. And you know what everyone's celebrating here? Everyone is celebrating the fact that Tesla is still holding their Bitcoin. Okay, let's talk about a story of guts versus brains. So I don't know if you remember, but in the beginning, Elon Musk went out and he bought Bitcoin. Look, so I don't know if you remember, But this is the amount of Bitcoin that Elon Musk actually landed up buying. It was this orange line over here. But then they landed up selling all their Bitcoin. Why? Because Elon Musk had the guts. But the problem is that the board started pushing back on him. They started saying that you can't accept Bitcoin for payment and you can't be holding Bitcoin because you're a sustainable energy company and Bitcoin miners don't use sustainable energy. And basically what happened was they strong-armed him into selling the Bitcoin. And he did. He sold a lot of the Bitcoin, except what you can see is that he kept a little bit of the Bitcoin over here. He said that line is the amount of Bitcoin that they kept. They kept a very, very, very small amount of their Bitcoin. But now, what I want you to notice is the value of the investment when they finished selling. And the value of the investment when they finished selling was $195 million. But read the headline again. Tesla reveals that none of their $711 million worth of Bitcoin was sold in Q1 2024. So initially you needed guts. But now you just need a fucking calculator. You just need a bit of a brain to say, hold on a second. What the headline should have been is Tesla are actually up $500 million or almost $600 million on their Bitcoin. Now, I don't know if you remember, but the US changed the accounting laws recently to show that companies can actually include that into their profits. They can actually mark up the Bitcoin and not actually just mark down. They changed the accounting rules. And so what I think everybody's missing here is not that Tesla is still holding their Bitcoin. I think what everybody's missing here is that Tesla have actually made $500 million on their Bitcoin. And that's the big headline here. That's why in the past, you needed conviction and you needed guts to hold Bitcoin. But actually, now it's not actually about that anymore. Now it's actually much more about having a brain and actually buying this. And you can see this here. I mean, as I said to you yesterday, the halving hasn't yet filtered in. You can see what Fred Krueger says. He says, Bitwise bought 360 Bitcoin today. That's 80%. Bitwise, one company, bought 80% of every single Bitcoin mined yesterday. The effect of the halving hasn't yet been felt. But as soon as we get an upsurge, as soon as we get one single upsurge, then we're going to really start feeling the fact that we're actually short Bitcoin because the flow of Bitcoin after the halving is so bad, is so low, that we're about to get into a massive supply squeeze. And that's on the back of GBTC, basically their selling's completely dried up, like 463 Bitcoin they sent to Coinbase yesterday. I mean, some days I've sent more than 463 Bitcoin to Coinbase, and they're only selling 463 Bitcoin. So it shows that their selling is actually finished. So imagine that, you know, you've got this thesis now that it's becoming much more attractive for companies to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheet because Tesla's made a $500 million. MicroStrategy basically looks like the god of Wall Street basically with what he's done. At the same time, the accounting rules have changed so you can actually account for it in the right way. At the same time, the halving's happened. And now what I think is that we're about to get a big buyer into the market. And this is where I need you guys to really focus. So if you have a pen and paper, take out your pen and paper because you have to follow the story. Follow the story with me. And we could see a big Bitcoin buyer in the market, bigger than BlackRock, bigger than all these buyers in the market. I want to show you who the potential buyer is. But more importantly, I want to show you why I have this thesis. So excited about this thesis right now. So let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about who the big buyer is. So the big buyer potentially is China. And the reason why I say that the big buyer potentially is China is because what we all know is that they approved ETFs. Hold on, where is that tweet? So Hong Kong approves Bitcoin and Ethereum spot ETFs to start trading next week, Tuesday. So next week, Tuesday, we have Hong Kong opening up Bitcoin and Ethereum spot ETFs. So the big buyer may be China. But let me go through the thesis with you. Because it's very well that, you know, people are going to say, hey, you know, China's coming for Bitcoin, bro. China's coming for Bitcoin, bro. But it's not like that. Actually, buying Bitcoin in China is still banned. Trading Bitcoin in China is still banned. Okay, so you know this. So let me show you why I think that there's a much, much, much bigger fundamental picture that's being painted here. And then tell me in the comments if you actually agree with me. Now, again, this is not something like China's coming tomorrow morning to buy our bags. This is something that is going to increase demand that is going to happen like really soon. So let's start the thesis over here. One thing we know for sure, everyone's seen it. is that people in China are rushing to buy gold. I don't know why. In fact, I know exactly why, and I'm going to show you exactly why. But people in China have rushed to buy gold. Just look at this gold chart over here. Just look at how, if you look at all the years, China has never, ever, ever bought this much gold. Okay, you got to ask yourself why. Why is it that China is buying so much gold? Why is it that China is all of a sudden buying so much gold? The answer lies over here. So specifically, China has always been a property nation. In China, the sign of prestige, the sign that you've made it, the sign that you're rich, the sign that you're free is property. And China have always had a property culture. All they've done is they've taken their money and they've put their money into property and they've had an insatiable demand for property. But recently, the property market in China has completely collapsed. We had the collapse of Evergrande, which sparked the crypto collapse and the stock market collapse. And we've had all these vacant buildings. And basically, if you look at the stats, what the stats are showing you is that the Chinese property market has absolutely collapsed. So you have a nation that's always prided themselves and used property as a status symbol. Problem is, property has now collapsed. So where do they go? What do they do with their money? They're panicking when it comes to property. They look at the stats and they look at what's happening in the property market and they're like, hell no, we can't put money into property. They're falling apart, and what they say, they cannot afford this after the property collapse. So imagine that there is a nation that has traditionally put all its money into property. Problem is, the property market has completely collapsed and everybody is petrified of the property market. So what do they want to do? Well, they want to protect themselves against the property collapse. They want to put their money somewhere else. On top of that, there isn't only a property collapse in China. There's actually a major collapse in China. Manufacturing has collapsed. You know, we've spoken very much about all the things that are happening in China. And so what investors are actually doing in China, and I'll try and find you the tweet from Zero Hedge, because it actually shows. Here we go. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get money out of China. They're saying, look, I don't want to be in China. I want to get money out of China. Problem is, China has this thing called exchange controls. Exchange controls limit the amount of money that you can take out of China. So how do you protect yourself in a country where you're not allowed to take money out, right? Because the government says, look, it's exchange controls. You're not allowed to take money out the country. Americans can't understand that because you can move money all around. But in many countries in the world, like even South Africa where we live, you cannot take money out the country. You're not allowed to. You have to ask the government. China want to keep all their money in the country. So if you're living in China and you're living in this country where property has always been the best investment in the world and the pride and joy of investing in the world, and all of a sudden, the property market collapses and you want to get your money out of China and you can't. What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You buy an asset that is denominated in a foreign country in your local country. And in this case, what the Chinese people are doing, they're buying gold. Not only are they buying gold, get this, not only are they buying gold, but what they're doing is this gold buying that they're doing has not only fueled a massive, massive, massive price surge on gold, but they are so hungry to buy gold that they are willing to pay a premium over the gold price. So if the gold price is 2,005 or 2,100 in the US, the Chinese people are actually saying, look, I'm actually willing to pay more. I just want gold. I just give me whatever gold you can give me, and I'm willing to pay a premium for that gold. And in this case, the premium is, I think, 3.6%. So they're saying, look, we are willing to pay 3.6% more for gold than gold is worth. So I think what I've shown you now is that there is a massive property, with the massive property collapse in China and the problems that are going on in China, people can't invest in property anymore. They're too scared. They want to invest in something. They want to invest in something that's outside of China, but they're not allowed to get their money out of China. So what do they do? I'll tell you what they do. What they do is they invest their money into gold, because gold is a safe haven asset, which is denominated in dollars. And so they are protected against moves in the Chinese currency, and effectively now they own something like that. Okay, now put the pieces of the puzzle together. Take that and overlay that against the fact that Bitcoin has now, after the halving, less inflation than gold. Remember, the reason why investors buy gold is because it is a scarce asset. But after the halving, the gold inflation is actually higher than the Bitcoin inflation. So Bitcoin now mathematically has a lower inflation rate than gold. On top of that, as I showed you in the beginning, there was an announcement, and the announcement said that in Hong Kong, which is actually China, but it's not China, but it is, but it's not, but it kind of is. You know what I mean? It's like China, but not China. It's China's place where they can do things that are not allowed in China, but you can do it in Hong Kong because it's kind of owned by China. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's like, you know, the token's not a security token, but it kind of is, but it's kind of not. But it kind of is. You know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's got to be a duck. So Hong Kong is basically China. And Hong Kong has now launched a Bitcoin and Ethereum, or is now launching a Bitcoin and Ethereum ETF. But now, remember that buying Bitcoin in China is actually illegal, right? But hold on a second. Buying Bitcoin in Hong Kong is not illegal. Specifically, you can actually buy it through an ETF, or you will be able to buy it through an ETF on Tuesday. So is there a small chance that some of these investors that are willing to pay a huge premium for gold and are bidding up the price of gold may actually say, hold on a second. Why don't we put some money into this better version of gold? You think there's like a chance, like maybe like a small chance? I think there is. I think it might be bigger than a small chance. Problem is, it's not that simple, okay? So as Andrew Kang says, study the relocation of Chinese capital from stocks and real estate to gold, because that's what happened. People are dumping stocks and they're dumping real estate, and they just want to go into gold because gold is a safe haven. A similar phenomenon has been happening with Bitcoin in China, but not at the full potential because of the restricted assets. But with the ETFs, a lot of people are saying the dam is about to open. Amazing. We're going to get a big buyer. It's going to be all these Chinese people who love the gold are now going to come and start buying Bitcoin. Problem is, it's not going to happen immediately. And I'll tell you why it's not going to happen immediately. Because even though the headline said that Hong Kong listed Bitcoin ETFs could unlock up to $25 billion, which is, by the way, much more than is in the Bitcoin in the BlackRock ETFs in demand, that's not the whole story. The problem is that in order for Chinese people to be able to invest in Hong Kong ETFs, those Hong Kong ETFs need to be part of what is called Stock Connect. Now, Stock Connect is effectively stocks that people in China can buy in Hong Kong, and I think in actually some other countries. And it also details who can buy those stocks. In other words, in order to be able to be eligible, you have to be like an accredited investor, so to speak. So there's a whole lot of rules. So it's not going to happen immediately. As Eric Balcuna says, a lot of people are banking on the Chinese wealthy locals, but officially you cannot buy this ETF if you're in the mainland Chinese investor. This is because it must be listed on something called Stock Connect, which allows Chinese citizens to invest in certain Hong Kong's ETFs. Okay, now that right now, buying of Bitcoin is not legal in China. Now, the reason why buying of Bitcoin is not legal in China is because China didn't have control over the Bitcoin, and they have foreign exchange controls, and they don't want money flowing out the country. But this seems like a very safe approach because they know exactly where all the Bitcoin are because they're in an ETF. And so there's no more like the loss of control of Bitcoin and people moving it into their own wallet, so to speak, right? And so this, we may be getting China actually coming to the market and starting to buy the ETFs as soon as it's listed on the Stock Connect. So what we're going to do is we got to just watch the Stock Connect. We know that the ETF's listing. Then we start watching when it gets listed on Stock Connect. And it will be listed on Stock Connect. Maybe now, maybe a bit later, but it is going to list on Stock Connect. And then we open the floodgates. And then when that happens, then I agree that up to $25 billion in demand can come into the ETFs. So that's the China thesis. I hope I've made you a bit wiser and smarter. Let me know in the comments. Let me know if you also agree with my thesis. I think it's pretty good. I mean, I didn't come up with it myself, so it's got to be really good. Let's talk about altcoins, because I know that's why you came. You didn't come here for the China talk. You didn't come here for China talk. You didn't come here for the Bitcoin talk. You didn't come here for the ETF talk. You came here for one reason, because you want to get rich. You want to get rich on altcoins. If you want to get rich on altcoins today, I guess you have to buy meme coins. Or you can just trade on Evo. By the way, I'll show you if you want to get the next Gummy airdrop, where you can get it. Let's quickly just go there now, because then we'll talk about altcoins. So Let's quickly have a look here. Should we see what George is talking about? Let's see what George is talking about.
Recently, just like declared and moving to the AI space and trying to get hype around that. But they've been around. They've been a baby.
Okay, no, I mean, it's not really that interesting. Let's talk about. Let's quickly show you guys. If you guys do want Gummy Airdrop, there are five ways to get the Gummy Airdrop. I want you guys to quickly understand. The next airdrop at these prices is worth $20 million. The only way to get the Gummy Airdrop is to open your Banter Bubbles app and to farm points. Here it is, number one. Number two is to sign up on Bybit, Blowfin, or Evo. So number two, three, four, Bybit, Blowfin, Evo. Sign up with a new account, put money into your new account, and you will be able to get it. And the last thing that you can do is you can sign up to Whale School. So if you sign up to Kyle's Whale School, not only will you get an amazing school, which starts in... Can't start in 0 days. That's got to be wrong. Okay, hopefully the clock's wrong because otherwise we've missed it. So, and 24th of the 4th, that's when it starts. So, Josh, you must tell them to fix this counter because the counter's not looking good. That's the only way to get it. So here, if you sign up to Kyle's school, you get the school for free and you actually get the airdrop. Right now, the airdrop is valued at about $20 million. After our big exchange listing on Monday, probably going to trade at a lot more. All right, let's get into DGEN mode. Let's get into altcoins. I hope you guys are farming Gummy. I really hope that you guys are farming Gummy. And if you are farming Gummy, question is whether or not you're doing a better job than this guy over here. I want to just show you something. Hold on. I have to find this guy. Eh? Yeah, it's a chaos. Is that, how do you, what's his, OSS. Okay, I want to show you guys, if you want to farm, I'm going to show you how, that's how you farm Gummy. See, that's how you farm Gummy. Guys got like 25 devices all running different Gummy apps. That is how you farm Gummy. I'm not crazy guys. All right, let's go into altcoins. Let's talk about altcoins. Let's see, enough of the fun. I did say to you earlier that there are a couple of indicators that are telling me that now is the time to start scaling into altcoins. And I know we've heard that many times before and we've made a lot of money on altcoins in the cycle, but recently altcoins have had a very big correction and it was quite a scary correction. But I do want to show you one or two indicators that are showing me that it is time to buy altcoins. Now, as Dan Crypto says, sentiment towards altcoin is really low. People are getting pessimistic about ever, read the word ever, seeing an alt seasonal. Fact is, you need ETH BTC candle to ignite things. After that, shorts often fuel the way up, which can make already for some good moves. So what he's saying is, look, you need ETH BTC to break out. Then you got this guy who's called the Chief Priest. He says, the bull run is far from over. In fact, the biggest gains are about to be made. Altcoins are just starting to wake up from a three-year bear market in the Bitcoin pair. The bull is going to be crazier than most can comprehend, like nothing we've ever seen. I kind of agree with both of these tweets, but I want to show you the data behind it. So as I say to you, I love Twitter, I read Twitter, but whatever I read in Twitter, I then go and compare it to actual data. I need like some data point. So I want to show you a few data points that actually show me that this is potentially right. Yesterday, we spoke about a thing called the stochastic RSI. And I said to you that if you bought the stochastic RSI, if you went to the chart and you looked at the chart and you bought every single time that the stochastic RSI went below 20 and you sold every single time that the stochastic RSI went above 80, then, and specifically if you looked at the 1 week time frame, you would have made crazy, crazy, crazy amounts of money. So today what I did was I actually went and looked at the stochastic RSI on the altcoins. And let me tell you, what I found on the stochastic RSI on the altcoins was actually mind-boggling. So I want you to look at the stochastic RSI here. And I want you to see that there's two time frames here. The one time frame is the 3-day, another time frame is the 14-day. What you can see is that both the stochastic RSIs are actually now below 20 on ETH. And in fact, the bottom one, the blue one, is actually on 3. Now, notice that ETH has never, ever been that oversold. In fact, the last times it was very, 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 very few times that ETH was this oversold. And generally what happened after each one of these times, look at that, there and there and there and there, we always had a massive rally up. So here we are again. And we've got two confirmations. And I'm going to show you confirmation number three and confirmation number four. So, what's the first confirmation? The blue line breaks. What's the second confirmation? The orange line breaks. Two time frames are broken. Then the third confirmation that I have is when I look at Bitcoin dominance. And remember I said to you yesterday that when the RSI goes over 20, generally you want to sell that position. Well, where is the stochastic RSI and Bitcoin dominance? The stochastic RSI and Bitcoin dominance has just broken this 80 level. So generally you'd say, well, hold on a second. The ETH stochastic RSI tells me it's a screaming buy. The Bitcoin dominance stochastic RSI says it's time to sell. And what you're getting is you're getting an RSI bearish divergence. And a bearish divergence happens when something moves up, but the sentiment moves down. And on ETH, specifically on ETH Bitcoin, you're getting the sentiment moving up and the momentum moving up, but the price going down. So the next indicator that I have is, it says, hold on, I've got the two indicators here breaking down. I've got the Bitcoin dominance breaking up, and I've got a bearish and bullish divergence. And then if I look at the ETH BTC chart, which is my fourth confirmation, both the RSI, the stochastic RSIs on the ETH BTC chart have broken down. So basically what I have here is four confirmations that it may be a very, very, very good time to buy ETH. And if it is a very good time to buy ETH, then maybe this tweet's actually right to say that the fact is you just need one ETH BTC candle to ignite things. So when I look at the data again, I'm looking for 4 to 5 indicators. One, both RSIs, both stochastics have broken below the 20. Traditionally, in fact, go and backtest it every single time, go and backtest it, that when the RSIs and the momentum has been negative, it always breaks up and you make life-changing returns. You want more on that? Go to our show yesterday and you can actually see the returns. Second indicator, same indicator on Bitcoin dominance, is telling me that Bitcoin dominance doesn't have a long way to go up, maybe one more leg, and then bang, we'll end up going down. Third one is the bearish and bullish divergence. And for me, the nail in the coffin is this, is that when I compare it to the Bitcoin pair, both indicators are now below the line. So those are the four confirmations that tell me that maybe altcoins are actually going to start playing catch up to Bitcoin over there. Bang, bang. So if that's the case, then I need to start looking at which altcoins to buy. And before I did that, what I did was I actually took the altcoin chart, the total altcoin chart, which is total two, took total two, and I said, okay, let's look at all the altcoins. Where are the RSIs on all the altcoins? Bang. On the short time frame, already broken down. On the slightly longer time frame, about to break below the 20. So when is the time to buy? When this thing breaks below the 20 over here, when this one breaks, when both of them are below the 20, that's your first sign that you should be buying. The next time that you should be buying is when there is a crossover. When the blue crosses over the orange over here, like over here, that was the sign to actually start buying. So remember, we're looking at the stochastic RSI, which means you go to the chart, you put on the weekly time frame, you go to the indicators, and you add stochastic RSI. And you also add air conditioner to 23 degrees, please, because it's very hot in here. I don't know why they want to kill us in here. Cool. So stochastic RSI 1 goes under and 2 goes under, first confirmation. They cross over, second confirmation. Third confirmation, we go to the chart against Bitcoin, and we break the chart against Bitcoin. So let's just have a look at what would have happened if you applied that strategy, the stochastic RSI strategy, versus the holding strategy. So what we did was we took all, and again, this spreadsheet will be given to you guys like every spreadsheet that we do. And we said, look, you could either trade or you could just buy. Okay, so let's just assume you trade or you buy. But your entry point would be when the stochastic RSI breaks below 20, okay? So when the stochastic RSI breaks below 20 on any of these coins, you actually buy. So let's just take, for example, Arweave. So let's take Arweave over here. So AR, remember now, ARUSD, I'm sure you can do it on USD. Okay, let's look at the first time that Arweave, we only started this in 2023. So if you start in the beginning of 2023, on the first of the second, so 2023, let's go to 2023, here we go. Somewhere here, right there, the two RSIs crossed. You see, the two RSIs crossed, which means that your entry point would have been about $6.35. Okay, so we marked down that $6.35. Then when you got to 80, you would have sold. So you would have sold at around, so let's look at it here. We got in here and we would have got out here. Okay, so we would have got out somewhere here. You would have got out about $12. This chart is right. And then you would have got back in at $6.65 because you would have gone after this. You would have said, here it is. Hold on, let's just go to it. It's over here. You would have got in again somewhere over here, and the price was around $6 or somewhere like that, right? Bang, you would have got in, and then you would have got out at $9, and so you would have perpetuated the cycle. So what we did was we did this for a whole lot of altcoins. And what we realized, what we actually did then was we compared the holding strategy, but the holding strategy was worth just buying when the RSI gets to below 20, and then selling, and then holding. Just you buy it when the RSI gets to below 20, and you hold. The other strategy is a stochastic RSI, and that's trading based on the RSI. And you can see the results over here. On ETH, if you looked at the stochastic RSI, I think they're saying you would have only had one trade. Is that possible? Let's go look at the ETH chart. ETH USD. Okay. And let's look at the stochastic RSIs. Okay, so you would have since 2023. So 2023, 2023. Okay, so since here, they're right. You would have only bought once and you would have only sold once. And now, for the first time, as you can see, it's probably time to start buying again, right? So you would have bought here. If you only started in 2023, you would have bought here. And the price here was somewhere around there. So somewhere around 1,500, 1,600. 1,700, and you would have sold it above 80, and you would have made a 36% return. So the better strategy for ETH would have been to hold. But for the majority of these, as you can see, for the majority of them, it's actually better to trade. So you got to decide whether you're a trader or whether you're a holder. Regardless of whether you're a trader or whether you're a holder, what you do know is that when the RSIs or the stochastic RSIs both break below 20 and cross over, and when you go to the Bitcoin chart, in other words, the ETH BTC chart, when you go to the ETH BTC chart, if you get the same down and the same crossover, that would be your ultimate signal to actually start buying. So what do I recommend you do? I recommend you make a table that looks something like this. And on the table, you put three confirmations. The first confirmation is both lines move below the stochastic. Okay, so USD pair on the weekly. Remember, we're only dealing with the weekly because we're not looking at short time frame. We're not degen day traders. And you say, have both lines broken below the 20? Yes, amazing time to buy. Good. Have both lines crossed over? In ETH's case, as you can see, that there hasn't been a crossover yet. And on the ETH BTC chart, has there been a crossover? So let's go to the ETH BTC chart and see if there has been a crossover. ETH BTC chart. And let's see, has there actually been a crossover? There hasn't. So let me show you a great chart that I think if this indicator is right, this is a great chart to be buying. Look at Injective. So have both lines broken below? Yes. Have the lines crossed over? Yes. Have the lines crossed over on the ETH Injective BTC chart? Yes. So on Injective, we have all three confirmations. To me, that would have been a great time to buy. Celestia, another one where you've had three confirmations. Let's do one together. So let's do one together. Let's look at GMX, because GMX is one that I have a lot of it in my portfolio, right? So first of all, let's take GMX USDT or USDT. We're looking at it on a weekly time frame. We're looking for all the, GMX USD, GMX USD. Let's just use that one. Okay, so have they crossed over? They've just crossed over. Can you see they've just crossed over? Have both lines broken below? Yes. Have they crossed over? Yes. Let's look at the GMX BTC chart. GMX BTC chart. Bang. Crossed over. I've got a triple whammy here. I've got to put my money where my mouth is. So now, as you can see, this can be an amazing trading strategy which shows you where the momentum is starting to move. You look at the three confirmations, as I've said. Number one, have they both lines broken below the stochastic 20? Have they both crossed? Have they done the cross on the USDT pair? And have they done the cross on the BTC pair? If you've got three yeses, in this case, the charts are telling you to actually... Someone says, check Arbitrum. Let's check Arbitrum. Okay. This is probably going to be a good one. So, ARBUSDT. It's just for to be correct. Okay, bang, on the weekly. Have they both broken below 20? Yes. Have they crossed over? Just crossed over. Let's look at it against the BTC pair. Bang. ARB-BTC. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. You can invest in Arbitrum. Next, to Gummy. Gummy's not long. We don't have a long enough on Gummy. We don't have long enough. Check IOTA. I can't check IOTA because IOTA is dead. You can't check it, the patient is dead. It's under the ground. Check Polkadot. Let's look at DOT. By the way, speaking of DOT, as I said to you, there is DOT version 2, which was unveiled by Gavin Wood at Token 2049. And it looks very, very, very impressive. Okay, so .USD, both have gone under. Has there been a crossover? No, there's no crossover. So it's not exactly a no-brainer to start buying. It is crossed over on the BTC pair, yes. So you've got 2 out of 3 confirmations. Do you want to get in? It's up to you. So I've done Polkadot. Let me just show you something when it actually comes to DOT. I want to show you because we did speak about this yesterday. Hold on a second. I will find something good for you guys. I will find something good for you guys here. Here we go. This is the tweet that happened on DOT, right? So Gav of York, which is the co-founder of DOT, or the founder of DOT, he created this Jam protocol, which combines elements of Polkadot and Ethereum. It's like a bridge between Polkadot and Ethereum to replace the relay chain with a more modular, minimalistic design. This is the new innovation. So this could be the beginning of a new DOT. So this is, I'd be looking at DOT. If you got the confirmations. Let's do one more. Someone says, let's do Phantom. Okay, let's do Phantom. Good one. Very good one. Let's go. Phantom USDT. Okay, we're on the weekly time frame. Okay, number one. No. Both lines haven't broken through the 20. Not buying time yet. Let's carry on. Not buying time yet. Render. Okay, I'm doing one more, and then we've got to move because I want to bring in Seth, because Seth says to me, I can hear him in my ear. He's talking in my ear. He says, indicator flashing. So when Seth's indicator flash, we've got to listen. Josh. Yeah. Seth is talking in my ear. He says his indicator's going bananas. Just ask him if it's really going bananas or if I can finish my show. Because when Seth's indicator calls, we have to listen, guys. We have to listen. We can't not listen with Seth. He says right now. Okay, but wait, let me just do one more. Just tell him one more. Okay, so someone says render. Okay, we're doing render, but then we have to go because Seth's indicator. Okay, Seth, bro, relax. I'm going to take this out of my ear because Seth's talking to me too much. Now I can't hear anything. Okay, so, but Seth, quiet, bro. Okay, so he's like, put me on, coach. Bro, relax. You will get your time in the sun. I've just got to do render. So render, 2 lines broken below. Yes. Is there a crossover? Not yet. No crossover yet. The sentiment is changing, but has not changed. Let's look at it against the BTC chart very quickly. Render versus BTC chart. No crossover, but both lines below the thing. Render, the way I see render, it's like, you know, if you've ever eaten meringue, there's two kinds of meringue that you can eat. When you eat the meringue, you can either get the one that's crispy, you bite through it, it's crispy, but then you get that type of meringue that they pull it out the oven too early, so it's a bit sticky in your mouth. You know what I'm talking about? So render, you're taking it out the oven a bit too early. Okay, a little bit premature. I don't know if I'd go into render. Okay, guys, I'm doing Aerodrome, but it's the last one because Seth... Okay, wait, I can't anymore. This oak's just screaming in my ear. I just can't. Hold on a second. Okay, Aerodrome. I don't think Aerodrome's got enough history. You see, no, not enough history on Aerodrome. Okay, so there's not enough history. Okay, guys, let's just respect Seth. Guys, like, screaming in my ear. Get me on, coach. Okay, bro. What's so urgent? You're like, get me on, coach. Get me on. What is so urgent?
All right. Okay, cool. So guys, looking at Bell is showing us.
But wait, I don't understand. Tight. I don't understand. First of all, just explain to them how your indicator works, because Seth has an indicator. It's called Easy Algo. Basically, this Easy Algo shows you the flow of money, right? Or just explain to them what it actually shows.
So basically, it's showing you all the key levels based on market movement and market structure. So like, let me explain it to you very easily. So you can see over here, can you see this grid over here? How wide it is. Look at the spaces between the lines. It's super, super wide. And then look here at the next week's grid. Look how small and tight this grid is compared to the week before it. This is showing us that price is building up and there's possibility of a big squeeze about to take place on this asset.
And what is the asset?
So this is Bell USDT.
What is Bell? I've never even heard of it.
You know what? I don't know what it is either, but I just look at the TA, and if the TA is good, the TA is good.
Like, you see, that's how you know that a guy's a good technical analyst. He couldn't even give a shit what he's trading if the TA is good. So you're saying when the grid is close together, it's time to buy, and now you've got a grid that's close together, and usually when the grid is close together, time to buy.
The best time to buy is when it gets on top of the grid and starts to find a bit of support, or if it breaks below the low of the grid, this area here. These are the two prime locations to look for an entry.
Okay, cool. Show me another one. So Bell, okay. Bell's amazing. I just have no idea what Bell is.
Then we got KDA.
Kadena.
Which is also super tight. I mean, look at this. This is even tighter than Bell.
So is that a buy? So you're saying because it's – but if I look at that Kadena chart, it looks like it's about to go down below the buy. Or you're saying it's buy time now?
These are two areas you can buy. So when it gets down to the actual pivot, this is a place where you can if you're doing a spot buy, you can add to your bag, or down here. These are two prime locations to enter in this trade because you can see the market opened and price opened above the grid as well, which is also showing – market sentiment, and also 95% of all tokens have opened above the weekly grid this week, which is showing strong bullish sentiment for the week.
Okay, show me another one. One more. Actually, give me two more. Okay.
I got one more for you. I got one
Pendle,
more.
Pendle, okay.
Here's another nice one, which is Pendle, which is looking great. There's a lot of confluences. We've got an inside pivot, so a tighter pivot than the previous week. It's breaking trend line as well. So all you got to look for is for price to get on top of this grid, find a bit of consolidation on this grid, and that could be a perfect entry. And targets will be these gray lines above, first target, second target, third target, up to your trading style.
All right. So now listen, guys, if you want to sign up for CS Indicator at the side of the show, it's actually the bottom of the show, whatever you want to call it, thing called Easy Algo. Now, when you get Easy Algo, you sign up here, you get a discount for signing up, and you get into a community where they're just trading on this algo all day, right? So they just get trading on this algo all day. Now, look, Seth's indicator is the most accurate indicator. I mean, it's a bit irritating when he shouts in my ear. I won't lie, but that doesn't matter. His indicator is the best indicator on the market. So just go here, try it. Seth, there's like a trial period, eh? Like if you don't like it, you just like,
3 days. They can test it out, use all the features, try out the automation, everything. If you don't like it, leave it. If you love it, continue.
Okay, so I'll make a deal with you guys. Try this indicator for 3 days. If you don't make enough money to cover the cost of the indicator, cancel. If you try the indicator for 3 days and you make more money, then keep the indicator. That's fair. So it's like a free deal, basically. Free deal.
Fair,
bro.
And lastly, I wanted to say as well, we're launching in front runners today with Easy Algo. So I just want to put it out there with lots of perks as well.
Amazing. Amazing.
Awesome.
All right, brother. Sending you much love. Please don't shout in my ear next time. You destroyed my eardrums. It must have been urgent. Listen, guys, I've urgently got to get to a Twitter Spaces. So I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, keep farming gummy. And there's only 5 ways to farm gummy. Sign up to Bybit using the account. Sign up to Evo and trade perpetuals using the account. You see, Josh, you're rushing the thing. You got to start slowly. Sign up to Bubbles. Sign up to Evo. Yeah, let me show you. Okay, let's do it again slowly because Josh is rushing the show now. Okay, so sign up to Bubbles and farm your Bubbles. Sign up to Kyle's Well School and sign up. Sign up to Bybit using that link, Blowfin using that link, Evo using that link. We are giving away another $60 million in airdrops at the current prices. If you don't farm that, I can't help you make life-changing money. So now you do it. Now you bring the thing. So I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.